Happy Mother's Day!
Thank you.
Come on, have a seat. We're kind of flipping up the schedule again this morning. I need to be up at the big house a little after 10 for some announcements. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Typically when music's, usually our normal service people kind of rolling once music is going, but we have to flip-flop things, so I'm sure we'll have a few showing up. But I knew what I had today was for me, I need to hear what I prepared today, and for whoever's here, I think there may be a word for you too. Let's start with a word of prayer. God, thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. Thank you, God, that you are our omnipotent, omniscient Father. You are Daddy in every sense of the word. God, we love you. Thank you for this time. I thank you for all the moms here, especially, God, just for the way you've made them, design them, and God, I pray that you would just give them extra special touch today, an extra reminder of how much you value these moms, especially the moms who come out here to help get things rolling and get this ministry going this morning. I thank you for them so much. And your Lord's name we pray. Amen. So we're starting a new series today. It's what we're calling it is A Season to Grow. And we're calling today Pulling Weeds of Worry. So, you know, it really is spring. It really is, trust me. It's spring somewhere. I'm not sure exactly where, but it is spring somewhere. And my wife and I, this last weekend, we were in the flower bed, started pulling weeds. I'll go ahead and admit this. She was uninjured, but I accidentally hit her with my shovel twice. She's uninjured, so I had some splaining to do, as Ricky Ricardo would say.
Yeah.
So no blood was spilled in our flower bed as a result of me and a shovel. It's a dangerous instrument for some of us, and certainly for me. But so got our weeds pulled here the last few weeks, kind of getting things ready. And I've been kind of thinking about this for a while anyway. When you want to grow in God and strengthen in your walk with God, or wherever you are in the spiritual spectrum with God, whether you're just checking things out of God, you've been walking with Him a long time, to really grow a flower bed or a vegetable garden, you got to pull the weeds. Because weeds can choke out the growth that you really want. Weeds in our life, in our spiritual walk, can choke out the things that God really wants to do in us. And if we don't work on pulling those weeds, God can't accomplish everything He would like to do in our lives. Because pulling weeds, I don't know about your garden or flower bed, but it's an ongoing process, isn't it? It's an ongoing process. So if you neglect it for any period of time, what happens? Yes. I'll tell you what happens. That happens. That's my vegetable garden last year that I neglected. Got started, got carried away with some other things, and next thing you know, that's our shop in the background, but that was my vegetable garden, so pretty humble for me to admit, I think. But so that's what can happen. You don't pay attention to pulling weeds, they can go rampant. There's nothing good growing in that because the weeds have choked everything good that we intended to plant. Oh, there might be a few carrots in there, but you're not going to find them. So it's pretty much buried. And I don't know about you, but in my life, worry can do that. Worry has been at least periodically, a weed in my life that can choke out what God wants to do. So I want to talk about worry today as a weed. And we're going to be pulling weeds over the next few weeks. So this has been really valuable to me. I'm just going to share with you the things I found out in just my time with God. And if it applies to you, then great. But I've gotten a lot out of it here these last few weeks. You want to have some problems with worry? Worry is unhealthy, unreasonable, and unhelpful. And if you want to follow along or take notes on here, I've got some space to do that. Or if you want to make a nice paper airplane, knock yourself out. Whatever you need at the church and the bar, it is for you. Unhealthy, unreasonable, and unhelpful. Unhealthy, we weren't made to worry. We weren't designed to have headaches because of worry. We weren't designed to have backaches caused by worry. Worry, are you all with me? Worry can cause physical pain and issues. Or is it just me? Are we all on the same page there? Were we designed that way? We were not designed to have headaches. God didn't say, oh, I'm just so excited I've designed my people so they have headaches, backaches, and lower neck pain because of worry. That is not the case. It's unhealthy. God did not design us that way. That's one problem with worry. Another one, it's unreasonable. Am I the only one that at least on occasion can make a mountain out of a molehill through worry? Is it okay, it's just me?
No.
Thank you for that, Greg. It's unreasonable. When we worry, we place unreasonable expectations and value on the issue we're dealing with because I don't know about you, but I can work myself up and make a mountain out of a molehill. And sometimes when I'm in molehills, they're really even smaller than that. I hate moles anyway, so they all ought to be dead. And it's unhelpful. When's the last time you ever said, I'm so glad I spent an hour worrying about that situation because the problem's solved? That has never, at least doesn't happen for me. Worry doesn't help. It accomplishes nothing other than making you sick, getting a backache, and completely stressing out your life and taking my eye off the ball. That's what worry does. At least that's what it does for me. It doesn't accomplish anything. So what can we lean into, and what can we learn, and what can be unlearned? If that's the problem with worry, then what is the antidote? What is the antidote? Well, I'm going to suggest this. Believe God will take care of me. I can't think of anything else, at least for my life, better than that. It is a faith and a firm belief in God. He has His best interests out for me. His heart for me is good. He loves me, cares about me, wants the best for me. God will take care of me. I really believe when we firmly grasp that, when I firmly grasp that, I have less headaches. I have less backaches. The issues in my life go back to being molehills or smaller as opposed to mountains, and helps me realize it doesn't accomplish anything. Believe God will take care of me. Of course, I love this verse. We all know it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Wow. I think of a shepherd out with his flock. God, morning, Dana.
Good morning.
The Lord is my shepherd. And as a result, I have everything I need. Isn't that great news? It is for me. God is my shepherd. He's going to take care of all of my needs. Great tea this morning. Well, what is the role of the shepherd? Number one, he provides. He provides. A shepherd provides for his flock. He provides for us. The Bible says, if God is concerned about the birds in the air, so much more so He's concerned about us and provides for us and takes care of us. So number one, He provides. Number two, He protects. He protects. Want to read stories of God protecting His people? Especially go to the Old Testament. God protecting His children and just kicking butt against the enemies who would be against His people. He protects. That is one role of a shepherd. Number three, He guides. Think of a shepherd. He guides. He takes His flock and keeps them out of danger and takes them to the great grass by the river or by the stream. He guides them. He takes them. He avoids dangers for His flock. He takes them to the safe places. Takes them to places where there's rest and where there's peace. He guides. So the role of the shepherd is provides, protects, guides, and yes, even corrects. Even corrects. Sometimes sheep in a flock head the wrong direction. Sometimes there's what we call in our family natural consequences to that. Make a bad decision, you're going to experience the result of your actions. Likewise, God will correct us to get our attention, to get us back on course with the rest of the flock going the direction that God has for us, because God has what's best for us way more than what we think sometimes that we have best for ourselves, right? So So God lovingly corrects us, not because he finds joy in that, but because he needs to do that to get us on the right track. The joy for God is when we get back on the right track. And he'll do whatever it takes to get our attention, won't he? Well, God takes care of his people like a shepherd. That is the nature of God. He guides, he protects, he loves, he cares, comforts, and corrects. I love this, of course, Philippians 4:19. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I don't know if I underlined it in your notes, but if it isn't right, we'll meet all your needs. Just write, underline that. We'll meet all your needs according to his glorious riches. Glorious riches. Do you know what that means in the original language? I have no idea either, but it sounds really good. I have no idea. Glorious riches. That's pretty cool. He'll meet all of our needs according to his glorious riches. God's love bank account is endless, and he's been building it since time eternal for you and for me. That rocks. Do we deserve that? Not necessarily, not at all, but because of his love for us, because of what Jesus has done for us, we participate in that, and he sees us as his kids, as his rulers and overcomers, right? Glorious riches, I love that. Well, we looked at the role of a good shepherd. We looked at what a shepherd is. So here, that's kind of now, it's time for where the rubber hits the road, is how can I make God be my shepherd? How can I make God be my shepherd? I want to share with you 1, 2, 3 things I want to suggest to you that I've come up with on how I can make God be my shepherd. Number one, accept Jesus as my Lord. Easier said than done. I mean, I've been a Christ follower for a long time, but you know, there are times in my life I want to take control. I want to be the boss. I want to be the CEO. I have trouble getting out of this chair of control of my life and having God come here and as Jesus Christ sit in this chair and control my life. But that's what we need to do. We need to accept Jesus as our Lord. Jesus is the CEO of my life. Jesus is the boss. Jesus calls the shots for my life. That is an antidote to worry, and how one way we can make Jesus or God be my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know me. They listen to my voice and they follow me. So to accept Jesus means 3 things. You can underline them. Know me, listen, and follow. Know, listen, and follow. That's what it means to accept Jesus as your shepherd. To know God, listen to his voice, and follow. Because it comes down to control. It really does. I said it a minute ago. It's, you know, when I want to get in control of things, it usually, right? It just, I think I know what's best. Well, who is in control of your life? Fear of not being in control is the root of all worry. Fear of not being in control is the root of all worry. We worry when we feel like, I worry when I feel like I don't have control of things. When I sense things are out of control, I begin to worry. I can't control that. I can't get my arms around that. I begin to worry. You know, I worry about, even my kids are doing great, I still worry about them. What's going to happen there? What's going to happen with this? You know, again, making mountains out of molehills, how can I control this? What can I do? When really what I need to do is says, God, I'm giving them to you. You know what's best. We need to stop playing God and let God be God. We need, at least I need on occasion, to be remembered, to be mindful. They need to stop playing God and let God be God. Worry is all about control. It's about control. How can I control the situation? So we fret, analyze, worry. We do that for hours. Again, I'll ask you, because I've asked myself this, where in your life or my life has worry resolved anything? Has it? Have you spent like hours worrying about something and realized, oh, well, problem solved because I worried over it? Not for me. Not at all. It's a time waster and it's a health destroyer. That's what worry is. And it's about control. It is about control. So number one, accept Jesus as my Lord. And then number two, begin praying about everything. So again, if playing God is the root of all worry, what we can do, accept Jesus as my Lord. And then number two, begin praying about everything. If you and I have time to worry, then we have time to pray. Right? If we have time to worry, we have time to pray. So my suggestion for you and for me is that when we begin to worry, turn that into a prayer. Much more productive thing to do. When you begin to worry, say, God, I need to turn this over to you right now. I release control to you. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's in your hands. How does that sound? Doesn't that sound better than, I don't know what's going to happen, what's going to do, that person might do that, this person might do that, I'm not sure what's going to happen, what's going to be, you know, backache. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Cast. That means to unload. That's literally what that word means, is to unload. To drop is another definition. It means to unload or to drop all your anxiety, all your worry, doubt, fear, hesitations on him, because he has what's best for you. He's got it. I wrote that in big notes to myself. He's got it. If it's big enough to worry about, then it's big enough to pray about. Then number three. Consider one day at a time. We sang this really corny hymn as a kid growing up. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. But that's kind of been ringing in my ears. So do you remember that, Francie? No. So I hated it as a kid, but I find myself kind of remembering those words now, you know. So one day at a time. There's an old saying I love. It says, don't open your umbrella until it starts raining. Don't open your umbrella until it starts raining. Take it as it comes. Take it as it comes, one day at a time. So don't be anxious for tomorrow. God will take care of you tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. I love that. You ever notice, at least I notice, worry isn't so much about today, usually. Oftentimes it's about the future. You know, what, you know, trying to figure out how the dominoes are going to be, you know, flip one on the other and what's going to happen down the road. And again, this is like building a mountain. But if we take one day at a time, it helps keeps life in perspective. I love, of course, this verse. I don't know if I have the right chapter on that. But anyway, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. What does that seem to indicate? You know, don't worry about tomorrow, God says. You know, God, give us what we need for today. Let's not be stressed out or worried about everything else is going to happen. Give us today. Also, what this is about, it's a daily choice. We choose. Are we going to seek that one day at a time? Or are we not? It is our choice. God leaves it in our hands how we're going to determine that. When we get to worry or fret, it's about control. When we say, God, you've got it, we put him as truly a CEO in our life. It's a daily choice. Because you know what, gang? I don't know about you, but sometimes the future can seem kind of overwhelming. What's going to happen? What's going to go on with that? Either in my life, a family member's life, you know, with friends, world events. The more you think about it, the more stressing you become. The future can seem overwhelming. It's a daily choice. Give us our daily bread. I love this verse. Your Heavenly Father already knows perfectly well what you need. And He will give you them to you if you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to do. God already knows what you need. He had you in mind before the creation of the universe. He had me in mind before the creation of the universe. He knows everything about you. He knows what you need because He created you and I. But here's the kicker, and I mentioned it a minute ago. Sorry about that. I mentioned it a minute ago, and I underlined it, the if. If you give Him first place in your life and live as He wants you to do, it's our choice. We have a decision to make. He wants to give us the good things, but He wants us living a life that is honoring to Him. The way to honor Him is giving our worries over to Him and letting God be God, and let us be a loving child of His. Daddy, I need your help. I don't know what to do with this. I'm turning my worries over to you. I'm laying them down to you. This is yours. I don't have it because I didn't write it down, but I don't have it with me, but if you read Psalms 23, and I really recommend that be part of your reading this week, read the 23rd Psalms. It's a very, very personal prayer that is written. What do I mean by that? And 17 times in Psalms 23, there's the words I, my, or me. We all know what the 23rd Psalm is. Though I walk through the valley of shadow, you shall be with me. 17 times, it's I, my, or me. It's extremely personal. 5 times only, it refers to God. Those are very personal verses. When you begin, I just want to recommend. Helps me at times of worry or stress. 23rd Psalm is a great place to start, as well as the verse in Philippians chapter 4. Those are two great verses. When you sense worry coming on, you know, how that weight, your shoulders go up, and you kind of feel like, you know, like a very old person all of a sudden with the weight of the worry, go to those verses. Because I want to tell you, religion never gets rid of stress. Religion will never get rid of stress. You don't need religion. What we need is a relationship. The relationship with God is what gets rid of stress. Religion didn't get rid of anything. That's my perspective. The only true way to relieve stress, let God be God, let us be His kids, and turn it over to Him. Speaking of the 23rd Psalm, I want to close with a story. Then we're going to pray. Author and speaker Wilbur Chapman, was asked to come cheer up a little 10-year-old boy who was dying of cancer. He went to the home of the little boy. The little boy was worried about dying, and Chapman said, quote, I want to teach you something. Let me have your hand. He says, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. He tells the little boy, every time you start to get worried about what's going to happen to you, you think, the Lord is my shepherd, and hold on to your index finger. 2 weeks later, the little boy died in his sleep. The next morning, his mother found him holding his index finger. If we could all just close our eyes for just a moment. I don't know where you are with worry or what you're stressed out about today. But I do know this. God loves you. And you know what? He cares and loves your stress. Because he cares what you're concerned about. And he can help you. The Lord is my shepherd. I like everyone here just to say that to yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. There is only one real Lord. All the others are fakes and cheap imitations. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not that he might be, it is he will be. He always has been. He always will be. Again, I'm going to say it after, just quietly. The Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that with certainty? Is the Lord your shepherd? Is he truly the shepherd of your life? He cannot be one without the other. He cannot be shepherd without being Lord, and vice versa. When you can say that and mean it, you're going to stop worrying. Don't carry that burden one more second. It's completely unnecessary. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I've seen that you've promised to take care of all my needs if I trust you. And I realize that worry is just a warning light that I'm trying to control everything. I don't want to do that anymore. I want you to be in control of my life. I want you to be my manager. I want you to be truly the CEO of everything, including the burdens and the worries and anxiety that I've been carrying. I want you to be my Lord. I want to know you more. I want to listen to you more. And I want you to lead me in a life plan that you've made just for me. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.